If you'd like to open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 20. Now, I just talked about that scripture we read about God's law and His commandments. They warn us. And we look in the Word, and here's one warning here that's really not being taken too much notice of by a lot of people today. And that's why the churches are in such a big mess. Amen? They're full of people who are looking for enjoyment, entertainment, rock and roll music, smoke bombs, and ladies dancing on the stage, and trapeze artists, and a pastor with jeans on, sitting on a stool with a table here and a glass of water, and torn jeans. You know, you've got to have those torn jeans and coloured hair, you know, red hair or something like that. Well, that's how you attract the young people today, you see, and they want to attract young people to the churches. We're not into that, we're into this. Amen? And we're going to read it again today. Acts chapter 20, verses 27 to 31 says, you there? Acts 20, 27 to 31. Now, it's the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, "For I am speaking to the elders in Ephesus," from Ephesus that came down to Miletus to see him, all right? "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God," he says to them. He's already talked to them about all these things. He says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood." Verse 29, "For I know this," he says, "I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone day or night and day with tears." Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us get something out of this today that'll warn us, amen, by His statutes and laws and commandments. He warns us. Let's get this warning today and make sure we obey it, alright? Thank you, Lord, for your word. And thank you that you've given us a book with your word in it, Lord, and we can read it. Read it easily, Lord, every day. We can pick it up and read it. And we thank you, Lord, that your word is full of warnings for us, Lord. It's full of blessings and good things that you say about us, Lord. But it's also full of warnings. Help us not to forsake the warnings, Lord, for the sake of the nice things that you say about us, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, as we do contemplate this portion of Scripture today, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would teach us, Lord. Reveal to us what it is you want to say to each one of us personally today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, my message is a continuation of last Sunday's message entitled "Pigs Will in the Sheep's Pen." As I mentioned last week, the message is actually a revisiting of a message that I preached during a Sunday night service back in July 2014. Hey, 5 years ago, alright? Thankfully, nobody came up to me last week after the service and complained about having heard the message before. And in fact, I had a couple of good comments. So, today is part two. As I also mentioned in my introduction last week, our opening scripture is predominantly addressed to church leadership, leaders, the overseers or the shepherds. But as everyone who was here last week should now understand, Paul's teaching to the elders from the church of Ephesus also has great importance to the flock of God, the lambs, all right? Us, the people who make up the congregations of the Lord's churches, ordinary Joe Blows like us, all right? It's talking to us as well. Both the leaders and the people in the congregations are informed from these prophetic verses of a very dangerous situation that will be prevalent in the professing churches continuing until the end of the church age, the historical period in which we currently live. We're at the end of the church age, my friends. We're not at the beginning. We're not even halfway through. We're at the very end. What's prophesied has already come to pass, you see. And there's only a couple of other things that have to happen, and one of them is the rapture. All right. As I stated last week, pig's will was any form of leftover food scraps that could be collected by pig farmers from out the back of hotels, kitchens, or restaurants and cafes throughout the city, and then fed to their pigs back on the farm. In developed countries like here in Australia, because of health and food quality standards, it is illegal to feed pig's will to pigs that are bred for human consumption. You can't feed pig's will to pigs anymore. You've got to pet one out the back, it doesn't matter. but you can't have them for, can't feed it to ones that are sold for human consumption, all right? Pig's wool poses a very serious health risk and is usually unable to be safely consumed by any other creature on the face of the planet without becoming violently ill, including humans. If you eat pig's wool, you'll be in trouble, mate. Pigs, however, can enjoy rotting, highly infectious pig's wool with total immunity. It's amazing, isn't it? They can eat anything. They don't get sick. They just wallow around in it. Anyhow, the title of my message, Pig's Wool in the Sheep's Pen, may cause some to wonder what pig's food has got to do with God's precious sheep and why someone would even want to mention the stuff. But I think that anyone who heard my message last week would now appreciate, in this day of increasing apostasy, compromise and worldliness in the churches throughout the world, pig's food, sheep, and the contemporary local church have much in common. Did you work that out last week? Pig's wool, sheep, and churches have much in common. Part of my message last week was spent in establishing from the scriptures that God has raised up pastors to be responsible for the nourishment and the protection of the Lord's sheep. In Acts 28 and verse 20, Paul instructed the elders from Ephesus, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he's purchased with his own blood." And we talked about that own blood thing too. Very important, all right? "To feed the flock applies not only to the act of feeding the flock with suitable nourishment, but it also applies to protecting, guiding and guarding the flock. It relates not only to the pastor's duty of properly instructing their congregation in the word of God, but also of the governing of the church and then securing it from its enemies." We're supposed to have a wall up around here, right? And you hear today where these rock and roll singers are all saying, "Tear down the walls. Tear down the walls." Why do they want to tear down the walls? So they can get in here and influence us, all right? Verse 28 of Acts 20 also reveals to us that firstly, the pastors are to take heed unto themselves, and then they are to take heed to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made them overseas. Now, they are to take heed unto themselves, all right? I pointed out last week, the pastors are supposed to take heed unto themselves. I pointed out last week, and because of its importance, I'll mention it again today, that the spiritual security of God's lambs is only as secure as the spiritual vigilance of his shepherds. I'll repeat it. The spiritual security of God's lambs is only as secure as the spiritual vigilance of his shepherds. If you've got a shepherd that's sitting down over here and wolves are walking in the door here and he's not taking notice, he's of no use to you. Amen? Zechariah 13 and verse 7 warns, "Smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." Get rid of the shepherd and the wolf will have access to the sheep, you see? The devil knows that truth, and he's aggressively smiting a multitude of those who claim to be shepherds in our day, with disastrous consequences for the sheep under their protection. The pastors of the Lord's churches have a responsibility, firstly, to themselves, to be vigilant, sober, and alert to the dangers that are surrounding the sheep pastures on all sides. And then they have a responsibility to the flock, the sheep that have been entrusted into their care. Is that what the Bible says? That's what the Bible teaches, eh? Similar to Acts 20 and verse 28, 1 Peter 5, 2 tells us, and I mentioned this last week too, it also gives instructions to the shepherds that they are to feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. What's filthy lucre? I'm doing this for the money. All right? You make sure you pay me today, all right? I'm doing this for the money. I'm not just serving God or the people in the church. I'm doing it as a living, that I might make wages and buy a new car and build a house and all that sort of thing, you see. And you look at most of these big-time pastors today, that's what they're in it for. They're filthy rich. And they don't spend it on the Lord's house. They spend it on their own house and their own car and their own boat and their own plane, all right? That's what they're about. They're doing it for filthy lucre. Probably not only for that, but that's what happens. Anyhow, I concluded last week's message with the comment that there is a great evil taking place in modern-day churches. Despite his role as the one who is responsible to feed the sheep, the pastor no longer has the ability to supervise what his congregation is being fed. Listen carefully, please. The pastor no longer has the ability to supervise what his congregation is being fed, despite that that's his role, God-given role. Can't supervise what his congregation is being fed, nor over where the food is coming from. It's the shepherd's God-given role to feed God's sheep, as well as to determine or oversee the quality of the food and what they're being fed. But today, the pastor's authority and his role as a shepherd in the church is being usurped by imposters who suggest that he needs their help to feed God's sheep. These imposters also suggest that pastors need their help in choosing what food should be best to give to God's sheep. So, who are these imposters? Who are these usurpers? And what is it that they are feeding God's sheep today? And how are they subverting the shepherd's role? Well, today we're going to identify some of those who are assisting the shepherds to feed God's sheep with pig's wool, and we'll identify some shepherds who are not obeying God's instruction to take heed unto themselves. And we'll also identify some of the pig's wool that the sheep are eating. People in the church is eating pig's wool. I mean it. Bad. Big time. In some churches, even independent Baptist ones, the shepherds are clearly at fault with regard to their sheep accessing and feeding on pig's wool. But in many others, they are not entirely to blame. It's not the shepherds who are to blame. So long as the shepherd is warning God's sheep not to carelessly consume food that hasn't been sanctioned by him, and as long as he personally knows the difference between wholesome sheep's food and poisonous pig's wool himself, then the fault really lies with two other places. One, the fault lies with pig farmers who are tossing pig's wool over the fence into the sheep's pen. Pig farmers, surrounding us on all sides. Secondly, the fault lies with the sheep themselves, those who are all too willing and ready to quickly hog into pig's wool the moment the pig farmer tosses it over the fence into the sheep's pen. They run up and eat it. Have you noticed? Our opening verse of Scripture actually identified the source of the problem and why it is that the Lord made sure he set shepherds over his flock, also instructing exactly what food it is that the shepherds are to feed God's sheep with. Reading on from verse, you're in, still in Acts chapter 20. Hop in Acts 20, please. Reading on from verse 29 of Acts chapter 20, we see that Paul warned, verse 29, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." God has not been caught by surprise that the church age is plagued by false teachers and seducers who are used as instruments of Satan to draw away his sheep from the safety of the shepherd and the sheep's pen. God knew beforehand about our particular time in history. God knew this was all going to happen, all right? He has warned us, we who belong to the church at the end of the age, that these imposters, these servants of Satan, will appear on the scene as angels of light to deceive God's shepherd and also his sheep. And true to his word, if you have eyes to see and the discernment required in order to differentiate between sheep's fodder and pig's wool, you will see these imposters, these pig farmers, everywhere. Paul closes off this warning in Acts 20 with the words recorded in verse 31. He says, "Therefore watch, watch and remember that at the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." This impending threat of wolves and false teachers gaining easy access to God's flock of sheep, feeding them heresies, was of such importance to Paul and to God as to cause the Apostle Paul to actually shed tears about it night and day. He said that. Did Paul cry night and day, worry about this situation with tears? Yes, he did. And the big tough Paul, I don't know if he's big, but I'll tell you what, he was tough. He might have been little and tough, I don't know. We're not told how huge he was, but we're certainly told about his character. He was willing to take it for God. Amen? He was a tough man. Anyhow, and the terrible thing is that even though Paul gave the warning, Paul knew full well that it was still going to happen. It was still going to happen, even though he warned him. He said, I know, he said. I know that after I depart, this is what's going to happen. And it won't be the unchurched that will be the problem. It will be through professing Christians that pig's wool will be introduced into the sheep's diet. But it doesn't have to happen in our sheep's pen, my friends. It doesn't have to happen in our sheep's pen. Not if we've got pastoral leadership who take Paul's warnings in Acts chapter 20 seriously. Not if we've got leadership who teaches the congregation how to tell the difference between sheep's fodder and pig's wool. Now somebody say, but we haven't got a pastor. Well, we've still got teachers here. Amen? And we've got teachers who have been put in place by the pastor before he left. Amen? So people can say, oh, they haven't got a pastor. Yeah, that's right, we haven't, and we're praying for God to bring us one, but he hasn't for some reason. He hasn't for some reason. But he didn't leave us without protection. All right? He left a sheepdog here, a couple of them. And sheepdogs can do a good job while the shepherd's in town getting groceries, you know what I mean? They'll look after the sheep. But we need a pastor. But even so, even though we don't have a pastor, there's been teaching authority being put in place in the church, sanctioned by the church and by the leadership at the time. All right? And we're still in that situation. And we're looking for God to bring us a pastor. But we're still not left without protection. All right? The shepherd had a dog. And he left the dog here and went away. You with me? And the dog barks a bit too. Amen? They don't like it either. A lot of people don't like barking dogs. I don't. I hate barking dogs that just bark for anything. But if a dog's barking because somebody's coming into your house, praise the Lord. So, what is the food? What is the food that God has provided for the shepherds to feed his flock? How can we tell the difference between good sheep's fodder and the poisonous pig's wool that is being chucked over the fence into the sheep's pen? In Acts chapter 20, it is clear what the shepherd is supposed to feed God's sheep. In verse 20 and 21, Paul said, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he was teaching them. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 24, Paul said that his ministry was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. In verse 25, he said he had been preaching the kingdom of God among the people. And in verse 27, he said that he had not shunned to declare all the counsel of God. The Bible. He was teaching them the Bible from the Scriptures. Anything that fits within the parameters that Paul describes here in these verses of Scripture is pure, unadulterated, wholesome, nutritious sheep's fodder. That's how we tell what you're supposed to be feeding the sheep. All of the counsel of God. Not all of the counsel of the newspaper. All of the counsel of God. Amen? And all these things here. Repentance towards God. Faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of the grace of God. Teach about the kingdom of God. What's pig's wool? Verse 30 describes pig's wool as perverse things that false teachers, pig farmers, chuck over the fence of the sheep's pen, hoping that the sheep will like the taste of it enough to want more, and then follow after the false teacher and become their disciples. Anything that fits outside the parameters of what Paul describes here in these verses of Scripture is adulterated, poisonous pig's wool. Amen? In fact, anything that contradicts anything in the Word of God is pig's wool. Let me give some examples of sheep's fodder versus pig's wool. Here at Coastline Baptist Church, we faithfully teach what we just read that Paul said in verse 21 of Acts 20. That is, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we teach. Amazingly though, numerous independent Baptists never mention repentance towards God. Pig's wool. You listening to me? Numerous independent Baptists never mention repentance towards God anymore as part of the gospel that we've been instructed to preach. Alright? Now, I'll testify a little bit here. When I cleaned out the shed down there, our church shed, I found boxes and boxes of tracts. Tracts. So praise the Lord. We can go door knocking and put these in everybody's... We got enough tracts here to do... Cairns, Cooktown and Mossman and all over the place. Alright? There was boxes of tracts. There's thousands of them. Tracts. So I started reading some of them. Nothing mentioned repentance. No mention of repentance. I found one tract that had repentance in it. And where did they all come from? They all come from that ministry in America. They don't like to talk about repentance. What did Jesus say? What did Paul say he taught? Here, verse 20 and 21 of Acts chapter 20. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and also to Greeks for repentance towards God. That's what I was teaching you. All right? And also the Greeks. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the good of a tract that doesn't talk about repent? So I'm going to toss them all. Hope somebody doesn't dig them out of the dump. Because they're not true to the Word of God. They're not true to the Word of God. And there's a great debate in independent Baptist circles that we're not to preach repentance. They reckon repentance is a work. It's not a work at all. So we're getting rid of them, you see. Anyhow, another thing is what the Lord instructed to the Apostle John to write down in 1 John 2:15 and 16, where we read. This is another thing that's pigsville. If you'd like to turn to this one, please. 1 John chapter 2. So we got independent Baptists who are not preaching repentance towards God anymore, and I told you I'd be able to identify pigsville. That is pigsville. When you've got a tract that doesn't talk about repenting, that's poisonous pigsville. We've got to repent. What did Jesus come first? What did he preach? Jesus came preaching, repenting, and the kingdom of God is at hand. What did the Apostle Paul come preaching? Repentance. They all came preaching repentance. We've got to major on repentance. It's no good for a person to get saved if they haven't repented of their sins. You've got to be sorry that you've offended God. And unless you are, you're not saved. And we've got a lot of people that have got saved, never went through that step, you see, and then later on they find out, hang on, I don't think I'm really saved. I need to get truly saved. All of a sudden they got convicted by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost convicted them of what? Of their sin. I need to get saved, you see. Anyhow, another thing the Lord instructed the Apostle Paul to write down in 1 John 2:15 and 16. This is what we're supposed to preach. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. Love not the world. Or the things of the world, has an all-inclusiveness that many Christians will try to circumvent. They say that God doesn't mention some particular questionable activity by name, and so therefore it must be acceptable. It's not exactly mentioned in the Bible, you see, so it must be okay. They suppose that whatever isn't expressly forbidden doesn't really matter to God. And so, for any shepherd or teacher to warn against those things makes them legalists, as though they're setting the standards based upon their preferences rather than upon contextual study of the Scriptures rightly divided. We get accused of that. I get accused of it all the time. You're a legalist. You're a Pharisee. Preaching law all the time. No, I'm not. Just telling you what God says in the Bible. Why don't you just do it? You know why they don't do it? Because they're not saved. If you're saved, the Bible tells you, Jesus said, my commandments are not burdensome. They're not burdensome to me. If God tells me not to do something, it's not a big burden to me. It's a pleasure to obey Him. Is that right? So if you've got a big struggle trying to obey God's commandments, maybe you need to get saved. You might not be truly saved. Anyhow, Paul says in Acts 20 and 29, for I know this, Acts 20 verse 29 and 30 says, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Okay, let's mention another situation that fits this category of perverse things that is being promoted in a multitude of churches by grievous wolves for the purpose of drawing away disciples after themselves. For the last half century, there has been a concerted effort to have music and songs of the world and the devil accepted in the churches as a valid means of worshipping God. and supposedly as a powerful tool for reaching the lost. They want to bring in the world's music and the devil's worship for worshipping God with, and as a evangelistic tool for reaching the lost. Every mature, truly born-again Christian knows, however, that there is a distinct difference between the contemporary Christian rock music of the world, which is characterized by loud, amplified, pulsating, addictive rhythm that appeals to our flesh, and the type of music which God specifies for use in the churches, which he mentions in such scriptures as Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, and Colossians 3:16. The type of music and songs that God specifies is characterized by melody, not rhythm, drum beats. All right? It's also characterized, listen, it's also characterized by sound biblical doctrine, which nearly all of the songs classified as contemporary Christian rock music are devoid of. If you want to sit down with your Bible, you should know your Bible enough to be able to sit down with any CCM song that's written by any of those contemporary Christian music artists and read it through and notice it's not scriptural. Some of them are. One or two is. But the majority of them aren't. They're teaching their heresies and wrong doctrine through their music. So Ephesians 5:18, don't worry about turning to these for time's sake, but Ephesians 5:18 and 19 teaches us to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Colossians 3:16 reads, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." You notice it says, they say, oh, there you go, we're supposed to use music to teach. That's in the church. We're supposed to do that to each other. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs." In the church, on the Lord's Day. Singing with grace in your heart to the Lord when we worship God, all right? It needs to be recognized at this point too that it's not just the world that God warns Christians to beware of. He doesn't just warn us to beware of the world, all right? In company with the dangers of the world's enticements, there is the ever-present threat to our spiritual safety coming from where? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the huge problem we all have with pride. We've all got that one. And then there's also the threat coming from the devil, who is ever ready to exploit those fallen human characteristics that are in all of us. These things which the devil can exploit in us are not of God, but of the world. We're just informed of that in 1 John 2:16. What did the scripture say? It says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world." All right? And yet, despite all the clear warnings, we have well-known, highly respected and influential pastors and teachers within the independent Baptist churches throughout the world who are failing, firstly, in their God-declared duty to take heed unto themselves to ensure that they are not being deceived by ravening wolves. And secondly, they are failing in their duty to take heed unto the flock of precious lambs that God has purchased with his own blood. They're failing on those two counts. Take heed unto yourself, and then take heed unto the flock. They're failing miserably. In reality, these pastors and teachers, who all declare of themselves that they have been called of God to this vital ministry, are literally throwing down the protective gate of the sheep's pen, and they are willingly inviting the ravening wolves to come in and devour the sheep. Come in and have a go. Eat some lamb. There's plenty here. Last Sunday evening, we watched a video message by Pastor Simeon Weston of Northside Baptist Church in Adelaide. We're going to see part two tonight. All right. Pastor Simeon's message clearly demonstrated to us, I hope you caught that, you people that were here, Pastor Simeon's message clearly demonstrated to us that big name ID pastors, such as Robert Bax from Rockhampton, Nathan Lloyd from Brisbane, and Tim Bunch from Toowoomba, and others, have been at the forefront of feeding pig's will into their church congregations. The pig's will comes in the form of CCM music, worldliness, and gross Pentecostal error. Not just the CCM music, all right? They've got worldliness coming in too. Remember they had Putty Sunday? Worldliness and Pentecostal error. they like to go down and associate with Brian Houston at Hillsong, you see. All right? So we can prove 100% that that's what they're doing, all right? Unfortunately, because the lambs in their care haven't been instructed from the Word of God about what is pig's wool and what is lamb's fodder, they're more than willing to hog into the pig's wool, not realising that it's poisonous. It's deadly poisonous. There are many other examples in the churches today of genuine pig's wool that is being fed to the lambs, which God has purchased with His own blood. And as I said, false teachers have infiltrated the churches and they have risen up from within the congregations as well, and they are teaching perverse things, drawing away disciples as supporters to their cause. If some church or professed Christian ministry or a college or some religious group has taken upon themselves to offer you something that they claim to be of spiritual nourishment to you or your friends without the knowledge of your God-given shepherd, then you need to be very careful that you don't end up eating fatal helping of pig's wool. If you have a question about something in the Bible and your source of spiritual learning is the internet, then again, you need to be very careful that the spiritual advice you receive and swallow is according to sound doctrine and not according to the twisted interpretation of the apostate churches that may taste good, but in reality is nothing more than poisonous pig's wool dressed up to appear like wholesome sheep's fodder. If someone should recommend to you a YouTube video by this apostle or that prophet or some other big-name televangelist who is promoting false prophecies about, say, four blood moons, for example, or how we all need to love each other and get together in unity with people of other denominations like that Cairns Christian Ministers Network, then if you have even the slightest doubt, you need to check with your shepherd that you aren't being enticed to eat an unhealthy dose of pig's wool. If you venture into what is called a Christian bookstore in the city, or if you look through any glossy Coorong catalogue, you will see poisonous pig's wool everywhere, all beautifully prepared and presented to appear like genuine lamb smorgasbord. You might even end up being seduced into thinking that what you see is even more appetising than what your own God-given, God-appointed shepherd has been feeding you in the sheep's pen. You might think, oh, this stuff's better, all right? But it's pig's wool. It's pig's wool, my friends. It's poisonous pig's wool. Be careful. In Acts chapter 20, we just read who it is who has been commissioned to feed God's sheep, the flock He purchased with His own blood. It isn't the so-called Christian authors with their glossy covered books. It isn't the preachers from the Pentecostal, New Evangelical or Emergent churches who distribute their audio and videotapes to the Christian bookstores or over the internet for filthy lucre. It isn't the famous Christian rock band with their worldly music. It isn't the numerous parachurch organisations who milk millions of dollars out of Christian pockets for social works overseas, right? Don't get caught up in all that stuff. It isn't even the highly educated college professor who can't read plain English and understand that God created everything in six literal days. No, God has been very specific as to who has been commissioned with the serious responsibility of feeding His lambs in the local church. Let's read it again. Verse 28 of Acts 20. We're going to see who's been commissioned to feed God's sheep. Now, I just mentioned something there, too, about sending money overseas for social works. There's so many organisations today, all supposedly Christian, that want your money to go overseas to do social works, not to preach the gospel. So we need to be careful about who we're supporting. Now, I mentioned in, I think it was a night meeting last week or the week before, about supporting Israel, all right? I wasn't talking about supporting Israel. I was talking about supporting the movement to build a third temple, right? There's many churches around and organisations around today that want us to give money to help towards the Jews over there to build a third temple. Sounds like a good idea, eh? We're putting money into getting the temple built. That's the Antichrist temple. That's the Antichrist temple. The temple that the Jews are waiting to build in Jerusalem is the Antichrist temple. It's the one the Antichrist sets himself up in as God, which is going to be destroyed. Don't waste your money. Get the scriptures and read them and see what you're supposed to give your money to. If you want to give money to Israel, don't take any notice of this BDS movement. Boycott, the boycott, divest and sanction movement. they're about not buying stuff that's made in Israel so the industries in Israel can go broke. I say, go and buy that stuff. Support Israel, but don't support that temple. All right, we're going to read again Acts 20, verse 28, to see who it is that God gave the responsibility to feed the sheep to, all right? Paul speaking to the overseers and elders, the pastors of the church, Paul said, take heed therefore unto yourselves, unto all the flock, and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Verse 29 to 31, he adds the fearful warning of what is in store for those sheep that have a hireling for a pastor and not a true shepherd. He's given the pastors the authority to feed the church of God, all right? Now, in verse 29, he says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch. Watch, he says. Keep our eyes open. Be vigilant for pig farmers who are determined to toss pig's wool over the fence into the sheep's pen. Are we watching? If we've previously been a bit casual in this area of protecting our spiritual diet, perhaps this message will encourage us to be just a little more careful about what we consume, and also careful about where it comes from. That's the warning here, all right? Be careful about what you read. Be careful about what you hear. Be careful about what you look at. All right? Check it by the Word of God. If it doesn't fit with the Word of God, it's pig's wool. Be careful where it comes from. Check the ministry. One of the first things I do, somebody says, oh, this is a great video from this teacher. Well, I'll go on that teacher's website and have a look. Who's he associated with? I've never heard of him before. Oh, here he is. He's one of Benny Hinn's men. Give it the flick. Amen? You're not going to get good food from a Pentecostal. Don't care what it's packaged like. And let's not lose sight of the Bible's teaching that it's not only the shepherds and those delegated by God to feed his sheep who need to be watching. It's not only the shepherds that need to be watching, all right? The sheep themselves need to be watching too. We all need to watch. We all need to come to the place of 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22 where Scripture warns us, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. We also need to be striving to come to the place of Hebrews 5:12-14, especially during this time when we at Coastline are having to stand on our own 2 feet without a pastor. The Word of God challenges us. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teacher again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's where we need to come to. And you know, most of us people have been in church for a long time, all right? Some of us mightn't have been, but most of us have been in church a long time, and we should be at the place where we're eating on strong meat, not sucking the milk bottle still. Amen? Amen? How do we do that? We get into the Word every day. It's the manna from heaven. We need to feed on it. And as we feed on it, we grow. We grow stronger and stronger in the things of the Lord. All right, if we've been Christians for any reasonable length of time, we need to be able to examine all things in the bright light of Scripture, proving for ourselves, from the Word of God, what is the difference between good and evil? What is wholesome sheep's fodder? What is wholesome sheep's fodder? And what is poisonous pig's swill? We should be able to do that today. Alright? We should be able to do that for ourselves. We've been Christians for a while, alright? Our memory verses for this month come from Psalm 19, and it's speaking of the Scriptures. Verse 11 assures us, as I said this morning, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Amen? We need to be at the place where we can keep what we read in the Word of God and do what we read in the Word of God, and we'll be safe from all the wolves. All right? And whether we got a pastor or not won't make one iota of difference. So we need to be able to take up the Word of God. We've got it in our hand. Everyone's got it. Take it in our hand. Read it. Believe it and do it prayerfully. Amen? Let's pray and close the service.